Amen. Good morning. Happy New Year. Who was here last Sunday? We had one service at 10. Pastor Pete, didn't he do a great job? I love Pastor Pete. Got a great heart, loves the Lord. Today I'm going to start a four-week series on prayer and fasting. And we're calling our church to a church-wide fast starting tomorrow. So it'll run from January the 8th through January 28th. Now, I know most of us, we don't get excited when we hear the word fast because it means we have to go without something. And we are in a culture that doesn't like to go without things. But God's heart is different. God says, hey, if you want better things, you need to do things differently. And so we're going to talk about prayer and fasting. I've just come off a 21-day feast called the Christmas holidays. And so now I'm looking forward to going on a 21-day fast and get reset. I was speaking to a lady after service that was here to hear the message. And she said, you know, I've fasted on and off for years. And she said, here's the way I look at it. Our spirit should be in control, but usually our flesh and our soul are in control. Fasting gives us an opportunity to get things back in the right order. I love that. Who in here would say that your flesh usually is in control of the decisions you make and your feelings and your emotions, and we're not happy, we're going to go eat some sugar, and you know that whole bit. And it just messes with you. And so fasting is a good way to recalibrate your whole being, body, soul, and spirit, and get it properly aligned with God so you can live your best life for God. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about the benefits and the importance of prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another new day. Lord, I pray that we would seek you first, and as we hear what your word says about prayer and fasting, that we would take it to heart, that we would have ears to hear and a heart that would want to respond and obey what we hear. And that if we do, Lord, you promise that you will reward us and that things will change and be better. And so we're going to hang on to that promise as we enter into this fast for the next 21 days. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd give us the strength and the courage not to quit, but to stay in it until we win it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. And Mark chapter 9. I want to start with just a few questions to kind of shine the light on why we pray and fast. Here's the first question. Who would like to grow stronger in your faith? Just half the church. Wonderful. Who is saved? Who knows Jesus? Okay, more. So if you raised your hand on that, you should have raised your hand on the first question, and that is you want to grow closer to God. Amen? Who needs some kind of a breakthrough in your life? It might be financially. May I suggest that you sign up for Financial Peace University? Steve, would you stand up? Let everybody see your beautiful face. This is Steve Winneborg. Didn't he do a great job on that video? Steve facilitates that class. Steve went through that class. How many years ago, Steve?
Five or six years ago,
he went through that class. It changed his life radically. If you show up to the first class, he'll share his story with you as to why. Well, he took it because he had problems, but then after he took the class and his problems got worked out, he now is teaching the class so he can help other people work through their financial messes. Amen? And he does it free of charge. He's a volunteer leader, and so we have 10 spots. The first 10 are going to take that class. And if you're the 11th, go ahead and sign up, and we'll somehow figure out how to get you your materials because we want as many people taking that class as possible. Who would agree that financial problems in a marriage is probably the number one, if not number two, reason that we fight in a marriage and many times leads to divorce? Let's get our financial problem figured out so we can have financial peace. Amen? And usually it takes both spouses coming to the class and getting on the same page, working from the same playbook, running the same plays, so you're not always fighting over stuff. That'll bring peace, amen? So anyway. Who in here is needing a breakthrough with your job or your career or your, you may not want to raise your hand, your marriage or something going on with your kids or your, maybe some friendships, maybe some extended family. You got issues, you got problems, you got quite figuring out how to fix it. Okay? Prayer and fasting will help. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Who needs direction? Maybe you feel like you're at a dead end and don't know where to go. Maybe you're at a crossroads and don't know which way to go. Prayer and fasting will help seek God, and God will show you clearly what to do. I think a lot of times God is showing us, but because our head's not clear, because our ears are clogged, we don't hear him or we miss him. It's not that he's not talking to you, but your flesh and your soul, your fleshly appetite is so much in charge that you miss the spiritual things that God, the spiritual signals he's trying to send you. It's like in baseball. You know, that guy gets on base and the coach is giving him a signal to go do something, but he's never looking for the signal and he sits there and screws everybody up. Prayer and fasting will help you get tuned into God so you can hear and see what he's trying to tell you so you can go in that way and things will change and get better. Who needs to answer to a prayer? Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time and still haven't had an answer. Okay, so listen, all of these things can be helped by prayer and fasting. I want to start with James chapter 4. That was the first scripture I told you to go to, the first passage, James chapter 4, verse 2. This is the brother of Jesus. Now, if you're the brother of Jesus, I'm going to assume you know a whole lot about what Jesus said about stuff. Listen to what James said about this. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. He's talking about prayer. Verse 3, or you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Or maybe you ask with wrong motives, right? To spend it on your passions or your pleasures. So James is talking to ordinary people like you and me, and he's saying, hey, prayer is important, but if you don't pray, or if you pray with wrong motives, it usually doesn't work. We're kind of like that in the sense that, and I'm guilty of this, I'm going after things and I haven't prayed about it. And I'm wondering why things aren't lining up or things aren't getting better. You know, there's some things I just don't pray about because I think they're such a slam dunk thing. Why pray? He says, you do not have because you do not ask. Or we ask with wrong motives. Maybe we ask for, like, God, would you just change her? My life would be so much better if you would just change her. And he's thinking, I'm trying to change you. Does that include most of us? So when we pray, we need to press into God, no matter what it is, and seek him. And just because we pray, listen, just because we pray for something doesn't mean we're going to get what we pray for. I know most of us have experienced that. And I wanted to give you an example this morning that might illustrate why that's not really a bad thing. And I thought of this father who told his son one day, his 10-year-old son, you can go into the tool shed and use my tools. You don't have to steal them. You don't have to sneak them out when I'm not looking. Just go in there and use the tools. Make sure you put them back. But then he sees his 10-year-old son go into the tool shed and he goes for the chainsaw. And he says, nope, not going to let you have that. Now, as parents, we would say, well, yeah, that's wise. But we don't necessarily like it when God does that to us, when he says, nope. I know you've been asking for that, but nope, not now. Or maybe never, because I got a better idea for you. I got a better solution for you. You're asking for him or her to be your partner for the rest of your life. No. I know things about them. It's not your best. And so all of us have probably experienced the heartbreak and the heartache of unanswered prayer, but we haven't looked at it through this lens that maybe it might be no or never because God's trying to save us from something really bad and he's got something better for us. Can I hear a big amen on that? So don't go throw a fit the next time God doesn't answer your prayer exactly the way you prayed it, thinking you know what's best for you. That's helped me a lot recently, is to change my thinking when it comes to praying, right? God reserves the right to do his will in our life. So let me talk real quick about the importance of prayer. Prayer is just simply communicating with God. Having a conversation with God. Talking, but also what? Listening. And some of us are really good about the talking part. We're not necessarily good about the listening part. Listen, when we add fasting to the equation, your listening becomes much better. All through the Bible, we see God's people going to him and praying to him and praising him when things were good and petitioning him when they needed things. And that's still true today. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. In other words, don't worry, don't get stressed out about anything, but in everything, say everything. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make sure your heart's right, present your requests to God. That means pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When Tammy and I are at a crossroads, when we're at a dead end, when we're praying for direction, one of the things we learned many, many years ago is we don't take a step in any direction until we both have a peace about it. Peace is a confirmation that you might be headed in the right direction. Not a guarantee. But if you're trying to make a major decision and y'all don't have peace, you're not in agreement, I would recommend don't make that decision. Wait till you have peace. Something else I think Paul is trying to communicate through what he just wrote in Philippians is the fact that if it's important to you, it's important to God. Now, sometimes we understand that with no problem because we had parents who were that way. They were kind of like God. In other words, you could go to them with anything and everything and talk about it all. And it was not a problem. But in some homes, that wasn't the case. In some homes, you might have had a parent that said something like, hey, don't bother me right now. Can't you see I'm busy? And so we're thinking, well, maybe God's that way. No, he's not. Some of us might have been in a home that said, I'm not going to talk with you about that again. Drop it. But not God. I think God says, come to me anytime and every time you want to talk about something, even if it's about the same thing. My answer may not change, but I'm always open and available to talk to you about it and to remind you why I've told you no 100 times. Or don't waste my time with stuff that's not important. I think sometimes we don't pray because we're thinking, you know, God's got 6 billion people to take care of. And this little thing I'm asking for probably is just a bother to him. No, it's not. Here's the takeaway. If it's important to you, it's important to God. And you need to go to God and talk with him about it before you go to 20 other people and they get you all messed up. Go to God first. Go to God first. Seek him first. You're having a financial problem? Seek him first. You're having a marriage problem? Seek him first. Both of you, seek him first. Let's get in God's Word and see what God's Word says about our problem. Don't go ask your friends. Don't go ask his friends. They're just going to tell you what you want to hear. God's Word's going to tell you what you need to hear. They're going to tell you the truth. And then it's up to you to follow it, right? All through scriptures, we see ordinary people went to God with whatever mattered to them in that moment. And I just made a list of some of these. Abraham and Sarah were needing a son. They weren't able to get pregnant, so they pursued God, and eventually they got pregnant. If you remember the whole story, they kind of took matters into their own hand to get a baby sooner than God was giving them one, and it caused a bunch of problems. So pursue God and be patient and wait for God to answer your prayer on that. Solomon went for wisdom. Moses went to be in his presence. Samson went for strength. Gideon went for a sign. Daniel went to have a dream, several dreams interpreted. David asked for forgiveness. Elijah asked for rain. Paul asked for a burden in his flesh. I don't know what that was, to be removed. And it's interesting, God never removed it. But he gave him the strength to live with it in spite of what he was wanting. There might be some things in your life that never change. Are you willing to live life anyway and give God glory anyway if that thing never changes? And then the disciples, well, they prayed for boldness and courage and faith. And those are all the things we pray for. If it's important to you, it's important to God. So let me ask you this morning, what's important to you? What matters to you right now? It could be one big thing. It could be several smaller things. But would you take that to the Lord and begin to have a conversation with him about those things that need to be worked out and the emotions that go along with it, right? The fear, or maybe it's anger or hatred or hopelessness or unforget, whatever it is. Would you take that to the Lord and say, God, let's talk. I want things to change. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him. Cast all of your problems, all of your fears, all of your concerns, all of your needs. Go to him with those. It says, cast them on him because what? He cares for you. He wants you to come to him. He will never say those things that some of your parents said to you that I just said a while ago. He'll never do that. That's not the kind of God he is. We were at two funeral services on Saturday, and the second one we went to, by the way, I see Carl and Madison here with us today. Many of you know Carl and Madison. Their three-year-old son went to heaven on the day after Christmas. And I just want you to say, church, at the service on Saturday, I told them, I looked at them, and I said, you won't go through this by yourself. You've got family, and you've got a church family that's going to hug you and love you for as long as it takes. It's good to be part of a church family. Amen. We love you. We love you, and we're praying for you. Amen. And we invite you to call on us anytime you want to talk or need something. And I want our church, not everybody was there, said, I want our whole church to hear this. We're going to be here for you guys. Amen. We went to a second service for a guy that had lived 77 years. And the one thing they had, it was a 2.5-hour service. This guy had impacted a lot of lives, especially the men. And not only did they have men stand up and talk about the impact this man had on their life, but he had his whole family, kids and grandkids. And everybody had 2 or 3 pages of things to say about this man. And I noticed the one common theme is they called him Big Papa. They said whenever we would go into Big Papa's office, it seemed like we had all the time we needed. He wanted us there. He was never in a rush. He never said, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. And I'm thinking, now that's remarkable. And that's what everybody remembered. Big Papa didn't say some of those things I said a while ago that maybe some of our parents said to us. Big Papa was like Jesus. And what really got my heart was the 10-year-old, 11-year-old grandson. When it got to that part, he started crying. He couldn't finish, and so his mom finished reading what he had to say. But that was an impact on him. He said, any time I went to Papa's house and he wanted to talk with me, it made me feel like I was the most important person in his life. And after the service, I went to that young man. I said, you're going to miss that. and you're going to feel the hurt from not having that anymore. But I want to tell you something. The seeds that your big pop planted in your heart in those 10 or 11 years that you had that with him, listen, your big pop was going to want you to be that for someone else in your life. And you need to walk in his footsteps and follow his example. And he got this mountain. He said, I know. I want you to know who God is when you're having problems. He's the kind of guy that says, come into my office and I'll spend all day with you and talk about it if you need me to. Now turn to Mark chapter 9. We're going to listen to something that Jesus said about fasting, prayer and fasting. Mark chapter 9. This is just one verse. In fact, we see the pattern of prayer and fasting all through the scriptures. But this verse specifically, Jesus said this thing. He walks into, if you go back to verse 14, I'm going to read verse 29, but if you go back to verse 14, the story that this comes from, he's walking up on this crowd of his disciples. Evidently, they've been praying for a young boy that was demon-possessed. They've been praying for the demons to be cast out, and they weren't having any luck. And Jesus walks up and sees what's going on, and it doesn't give much detail, but at some point you know that Jesus said, be gone in Jesus' name. I wonder if he said in my name. I don't. Anyway, be gone. And the demon left. And they go back to the house afterwards, and the disciple said, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus says in verse 29, he says, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. So whether it's the need for freedom or all the other needs I've talked about, it seems like fasting was the pivotal element that accomplished the purpose in that situation. Now, I'm just wondering if that could be true for everything else we pray for. I'm not saying you have to fast for everything, but and you pray. You should pray daily. It should be a priority. But I'm just wondering on some of these big things that you've been holding out for and waiting on. And big things. I'm just wondering if fasting might be the extra ingredient you need to add to your prayer for things to change. So I want to talk about fasting for just a moment. Who's ever fasted? Not for dietary reasons. Who has fasted for spiritual reasons before? Wave at me. Okay, about half, maybe less than half the church. Okay, so what I'm getting ready to say, you probably already know. Just hang with me because I'm going to pick back up here in a minute. But for those that aren't used to this, those who are new to this, I want to just share with you a few things so you know what God says about fasting. First, fasting is a spiritual discipline, just like prayer. It's a discipline. It's something you choose to do, in which you deny yourself something of physical benefit, and in its place, you seek God for a spiritual benefit. So it might be food. Many times we fast from food, and so we're willing to give up food in place of us spending time praying to God for something spiritual. And so most of us eat three times a day. So if you were to enter into a fast of food, you might not eat breakfast, but in that place, instead of spending 30 minutes eating your eggs, bacon, and biscuits, you might get your word out and be there at the dinner table or wherever you eat. You're not eating food, but you're going to be now eating spiritual food. You're going to spend time in God's Word. You're going to be praying. You're skipping the physical stuff. And you're saying, oh God, feed me something spiritual today. And then lunch. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to open my Bible again. I'm going to eat from God's Word. It's the living Word. It's the bread of life. I love bread. So when I start thinking about that sourdough bread with too much butter on it, I got to get God's bread in front of me and eat it. I wish they would make a Bible that was scented with fresh baked bread that would make it easier for me to want to get that Bible right there. Fasting shows God you're willing to put Him first, even above food that you love, even above your caffeine, you coffee drinkers, above your alcohol, you happy hour people. I talked to a guy one time, he says, I don't have a drinking problem. I have a problem not drinking. And you've heard me say many, many times, it's okay to have a drink, just not in excess. And usually the safe place is maybe one drink, not three or four, not one of every kind, not every day. And so some of you, and I'm not saying this with condemnation, some of you eat too much, some of you drink too much. I would suggest that's a good place to start with your fast, is zero in on those things that have a grip on you, and you know they have a grip on you. And would you go to God and say, God, I'm willing to give that to you so that grip loosens itself and I'm not controlled by those things anymore. If I choose to do those things, if I choose to have a meal, if I choose to have a drink, it's because I'm choosing, not because my body's craving it, and if I don't have one, I go wild. Fasting will break that. Fasting will break that grip. I believe that if praying could always do it, you would have stopped by now. Because many of us have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I just can't quit. I would say add fasting to the equation. I bet you will. Sure is quiet in here. Fasting shows God that He and other things that you want to see change in your life are more important than those things that you're giving up. If God could reward you with a beautiful, peace-filled marriage, what would you be willing to give up to have that? If you've been praying for a son or daughter who's walked away from the Lord to come back to the Lord, what would you be willing to give up for that? What's it going to be worth it to you to give up something in the physical so you could have something better in the spiritual? That's what fasting is about. Paul said, when I become weaker, then I become stronger. I've read that verse many times, and it seemed like a contradiction. But I want to reread it in the way that I think Paul was meaning it to see if it makes sense. When I become weaker physically, then I become stronger spiritually. When I quit feeding my flesh and I start feeding my spirit, then I'll become stronger spiritually and I'll become weaker in my flesh. Does that make sense? That's why we pray and fast. Praying feeds our spirit, makes it stronger. And the fasting starves our flesh, so it's not in control. That's why we pray and fast. Most Christians feed their flesh and starve their spirit. Most people do. That includes Christians. And I'm just suggesting, what if we started this new year on maybe a different approach with a different mindset and said, no, this year I'm going to start off and I'm going to try to continue it. I'm going to do a little better job of starving my flesh and feeding my spirit, which means I'm going to fast from some of these things that tend to get in the way of me having a better relationship with God. In 2 Chronicles, fasting is mentioned. 2 Chronicles, I don't have enough time really. Let me give you the verse. If you'll just take a picture of that or write this down. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want you to, maybe when you start your fast tomorrow, this is the verse you start with, because I'm going to skip it. But this, real quick, this is an Old Testament story about how the tribe of Judah had compromised their walk with God. That's true for a lot of us. We know what that's like. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was confronted about it, and he realized that he was in the wrong, and so he asked God to give him a second chance, and God showed him mercy, and King Jehoshaphat decided to get back on the right track and to lead God's people back into the right track. They had opened the door to idol worship, and it didn't please God. And so Jehoshaphat called a fast for the whole assembly. And he said, we're going to fast and we're going to seek God. And we have a need. We're getting ready to be attacked by the enemy because of our sin and our rebellion. But we don't want that. So we're repenting, God. We're repenting and we're asking for your favor. And so they decide to fast. And God honored their fast and delivered them and kept them from being killed. What was the purpose of the fast? They needed something from God. And they were willing to fast in exchange for what they needed. In Matthew chapter 6, we see Jesus say this. When you fast, notice he didn't say if. That's kind of what Chance, I was glad Chance was listening to the sermon in first service. It says, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but unto your Father who is unseen. It doesn't mean you can't talk about it. I think what Jesus is saying is, hey, when you fast, don't look miserable when you do it. You ever talk to somebody and they look like they're about to die and they've just missed a meal? Are you okay? Oh, I'm just fasting. Jesus said, don't do that. You're a bad representation. Don't do that. When you fast, nobody should be able to tell that you're fasting. Be upbeat. Be joyful. Right? If you have to meet somebody for lunch, you don't have to eat. They go, are you okay? Why aren't you eating? I'm just on a fast, but go ahead. Hey, tell me about, don't moan and groan and bring attention to your poor, pitiful self. That's what he's saying here. Don't look so doomy and gloomy because you're having to give up some few meals. Listen, you're going to make it. I got plenty stored up. I go a month or two without eating another meal. I'm not saying I will. I'm just saying I could. Here's a few notes real quick, and then I'll land the plane. A few notes about fasting. The first question is, why should I fast? Why should I fast? Here's a list of some whys. You want to grow closer to God? You want to improve your spiritual hearing? You want to loosen the grip that your flesh has on you, something you're addicted to? Seeking wisdom and guidance in some decision or some area of your life where you need clarification or you need a direction. What direction should I go? You need some confirmation from God on that. Or some special need or challenge you're dealing with, or maybe it's on behalf of somebody else. You're praying for somebody else's healing. You're praying for somebody else to turn around and come back to the Lord, whatever it is. Those are different reasons why you should fast. And I want to tell you this right up front. Before you start your fast, you need to nail that one down. Why are you fasting? What are you fasting for? You've got to make that loud and clear to yourself. Because if you don't know the why, you will not stick with what you're getting ready to go through. You know, day one, you go without coffee, you go without three meals, and your body's going to start talking to you. And if you don't have a good why, if you don't have something that's worth the little pain you're going to go through, you won't go through it. You won't stick to it. You need to nail down the why I am fasting. What am I fasting for? It might be for physical healing. It might be for someone's salvation. It might be for all of my marriage strife to come to an end. It might be for a wayward child. It might be for a financial, whatever it is. It's got to be a big enough why that's going to cause you to deal with the headaches and the hunger pains for a few days as you're going through this thing to get breakthrough for what that big thing is you're wanting. No pain, no gain. And let me remind you, the pain you're going to go through is nothing compared to the pain Jesus went through, so you could be here today saved and calling him Lord and Savior. When you get a stomach pain, and you probably will, maybe not, bless you, you have favor of God. I usually deal with hunger pains and headaches. Day one, day two. By day three, they go away because you know what? You didn't give in and you told your body, shut up. Quit your complaining. Jesus died on a cross. You can go without a meal. But you got to be prepared for that. Your why has got to be bigger than the little bit of pain and suffering you're going to go through initially. Because once you get over that hump and you start reading things and God starts speaking to you and he starts giving you some, hey, here's what I want you to do. And all of a sudden, boy, this is exciting. And you don't want a little stomach hunger pain to rob you of that blessing. So put your big boy pants on, big girl pants on, and be ready to. Women, if you can give birth, you can fast for a few days. Come on. Women are much stronger at this than men, I've heard. Here's the next one. What or how should I fast? Here's a few ways. Water only. Water only. No food. Or you could do water and juices. No solid foods. A Daniel fast. That's pretty much fruits and vegetables. No sugar. No sugar. Sugar is going to kill you. Sugar is what leads to cancer, diabetes, and all these other things we're praying for healing from. God said if you just clean up your diet, you may not have to pray as much for these things. I learned that with my journey this year. I've cut out most sugars, and I feel better than ever. There's still some sugars I'm working on. But I haven't had a soft drink in 9 months, however long it was, April, 8 months. I haven't had a soft drink. I just pretty much drink water and tea. Men, I'm sorry I had to admit that, but I'm a tea drinker. But I drink a lot of water, a lot of water, a lot of water, a lot of water. And you just have to cut out all the sugars. And so this 21-day fast will help you jumpstart that process. I'm giving you a reason to make the decision you normally wouldn't make on your own. Non-food fast. Quit drinking alcohol. Quit smoking. Quit dipping. Quit chewing. Quit watching all that TV that doesn't feed your spirit. All those video games, all that time on your phone and social media. Am I talking to anybody? Or some combination of those. I'm going to do a combination. I'm going to go water only for as long as I feel like I can go, and then I'm going to gradually introduce the fruits and veggies and probably go on to the Daniel fast for the remaining of 21 days, and then I'm going to try to maintain that discipline in my life and occasionally eat some fish and occasionally eat some chicken and try to limit most of my red meats. The men are looking at me with a sad face right now. You can have some. Just you don't need to eat a big old steak every day of your life at every meal. But this is between you and God. I'm not telling you what to fast. I'm just making some suggestions. You need to get with God and say, God, what do you want me to fast? You pray about it and do what he tells you. I will say this, though. The deeper you go, the deeper God will go. And so a good mindset might be, well, I'm going to go as deep as I can and wait to see what results God comes up with for me. God's word does not require a command us to fast, so it's really up to us. It should be a want to, not a have to. And listen, if you choose not to fast, listen, church, if you know somebody in your circles that isn't fasting, don't you say a word about it. No condemnation to people that don't fast. That defeats the purpose of why we fast. A fast is for you and God. You do it. Don't project that on others, especially in marriages, okay? Let's say I'm going to fast a certain way and Tammy's going to fast another way. It'd be real tempting to go, that's not much of a fast. Why don't you give up what I'm giving up? You see how that could open up a door real quick? And do you think that would glorify God? No. So keep your trap shut when it comes to comparing what people are fasting and how they're fasting. It's between you and God. And by the same way, don't gloat and glamour about it. Well, this is my 10th day of water only, dear. Go ahead and start eating chicken fried steak because you just lost the rest of your blessing. Okay, that was my thought. It may not have been God's thought, but I'm trying to make a point here. No condemnation and no comparing, okay? 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 I don't want to have to be meeting you for marriage counseling next month. Now, here's an important part. If you have health concerns, check with your doctor first before you do something real radical, like water only for a week, and you're a diabetic. I'm not so sure that's wise. So just check with your doctor. Fasting is for the living, not the dead. I don't want anybody dying on this fast I'm calling for our church. But you can fast other things. You can fast non-food stuff. You can fast, you can fast chocolate. That probably wouldn't hurt your medical condition. You can fast caffeine. You can fast TV. You can fast, so you can do other things that in a fast besides just food if you've got a medical condition. Drink plenty of water. You got to stay hydrated. Drink plenty of water. Start slow. Start small. And build, especially if you've never done this before. This is brand new. Don't put your big belt on and say, I'm going to go for a 40-day water-only fast and end up in the hospital. Don't do that. So I think most people can go at least a day without any food. I would say most of us could probably go 3 days if you're up for a little pain just to see how tough you are. And then what I do beyond the 3-day fast, I just take it a day at a time, a meal at a time. I can go one more. And Tammy and I'll do that. Honey, let's go one more, okay? Maybe one more. I think last year we went 4 or 5 days before we started bringing stuff in. I'm going to try to go a week this year. I'm going to try to go a week, water only. I want you to test me. I want to see how strong I am. I've talked to people that have done 21-day water only, and I've talked to a few people that have done 40-day water only. And here's the deal. God, if that's your desire, would you equip me to go through that? I'm not opposed to it, okay? But I'm going to try to stretch a little bit more than I did last year, this year. Ask God to stretch me a little bit, amen? Who wants to be stretched a little bit more this year? And then how long should I fast? I kind of just talked about that. These are different examples of different people in the Bible. Next slide, please. Of people that fasted. You could do a 1 day. Esther, Jonah, they did 3 days. David did 7. Paul did 14. Daniel did 21. Moses, Joshua, David, Elijah, all the big shots, they did it 40. Some of you probably have done 40. If you want to do 40, do 40. But I'm not recommending it for most of us, and it's certainly for the new people. But the most important thing is in place of eating, if you're going to fast food, you've got to get into God's Word and you've got to pray. And I'm going to suggest you need to journal. You need to get your little notebook, 1 page per day. Start with Monday, January the 8th. Lord, here's my why. Here's what I'm believing for. And I'm kind of a systematic, organized, I think that way, drives Tammy nuts. My date, and then I have 3 little spaces, my morning, my mid, and my evening. The times that I'm meeting with God in place of eating, which I love to do. I took after both my grandfathers. One ate a long time, one ate a whole bunch. And so the deck is stacked against me. Fasting is, as you can tell, is not one of my favorite things to do, but it's a discipline I need to get better at. And there's 3 places on there that you're going to seek God on these things. And along the way, he may add something to that. And that's why you need to journal, 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 journal. Write things down. Read some scriptures. What do you hear God saying to you? I think it'll help you process the fast and the journey, 21-day journey, easier than if you just say, okay, I'm going to skip a meal. And it's not just about losing weight. You will lose some weight, praise God. But it's not about losing weight as much as it is hearing from God and getting some breakthrough in some of these areas of our lives where we need breakthrough. And being thinner at the end. Nothing wrong with that, is it? And so today I'm calling our church to a 21-day fast. I hope that everybody will participate in some way at some level, with the understanding that at the end of this 21-day period, we're going to bring God glory and we're going to see some changes in our life for the better. Can I hear a big amen? Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for showing us the advantages and the benefits of not just praying, but praying and fasting. And I pray that we would make a commitment to fast for certain things in certain ways. It's between me and you. And that you would honor our fast, that you would bless our fast, that you would answer our prayers, that you would give us direction. And we're believing at the end of this period it will be an enjoyable journey that produced some really good results. That's our desire. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to say this. I don't know if there's people watching online right now or people in this church building, in this sanctuary, that haven't totally committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is more important than anything I've talked about today. Because praying and fasting really is meaningless unless you're in God's family and you have a relationship with the one that's going to lead you in your fast. It'd be like buying a ticket for a big vacation and never showing up to the airport to take it. You need to get Jesus into your life. You need to ask Jesus to save you from all your sin problems, to forgive you. And you need to commit to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. And I'm going to live my life according to your rule book, not my own. And I'm going to receive, Jesus, I'm going to receive this wonderful gift of salvation that you made possible for me when I refer to you and commit my heart to you as my Lord and my Savior. Now, if that's you, if you've never done that before and you're feeling led by the Holy Spirit right now to say, hey, that's your next step. You need to do that first. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand real. Just raise it up high. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Come on. This is the greatest day. If you've never done this before, this day is going to be the best day of your life so far. And I can't see the hands that are online. Maybe people are watching online and they're raising their hands. I can't see it. But if you're raising your hand online, you're raising your hand in the house. Come on. The Bible says if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is who he says he is and he did for you what he did for you, he will honor your prayer. It's a faith thing. It's by faith. So here's the quick prayer I want to lead you in. Just say this. Jesus, come on, say it. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need your salvation. Your word says I deserve death, but I want life. And I so love the idea that in spite of my sins and all of my wrongdoings, you're willing to forgive me for those things and not hold those things against me, and in exchange, grant me the freedom and the liberty of being in heaven forever, starting today and for the rest of my life, being right with you in spite of my dirty deeds. I'm considered righteous in your sight in spite of my sins. I can't fully understand that, but it seems really good. It seems really beneficial for me because I need it. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace to forgive me when I don't deserve it. Today I receive that gift. I won't take it for granted. I won't dismiss it as something small. It'll be the one thing that causes me to live for you for the rest of my life and to worship you with my whole heart and to put you first in every area of my life. And when I pray and fast, I'm coming to you and I'm going to believe great things for my life because I'm doing what you've told me to do. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, you come up and talk to me. I want to congratulate you. I want to high five you. I've got a book I want to send you home with that says, now what? Now what do I do? What's my next step? I'm in God's family. I'm saved. What do I do now? This book will tell you. Come up and get, I want to give you the book. Amen. Is God good? Let's give God a big hand clap. Let's all stand and let's worship him one more time before we go out, and I'll see you next Sunday.